Paris Hilton was released from jail this morning, and she's getting more press coverage than Nelson Mandela did when he left prison. As you might imagine, many are outraged that she got out after serving 3 days of what was originally a 45-day sentence. But if you want to find out more, you can't go to Hank Stuver's column anymore. For the past 3 years and a bit, Stuver wrote a weekly column in the Washington Post called Question Celebrity. Last Sunday, he cited celebrity fatigue as one reason to call it quits. What about you? Had enough? And should coverage, even skeptical coverage of celebrities, have a place in a serious newspaper or on a serious radio network? Our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, email talk@npr.org. You can also weigh in on our blog, npr.org/blog of the nation. Hank Stuver joins us from the Washington Post studios here in Washington, D.C. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Well, good afternoon.
And Paris is
and
not...
Oh, happy day,
and
right?
Oh, happy day. Paris is not going to have Hank to kick around anymore.
Well, you know, I wonder what's more punishing. Obviously, it's better to be at home, wherever Paris Hilton calls home, you know, doing the Disturbia thing with her ankle bracelet. But, you know, she still doesn't get to go anywhere. And, you know, you sort of remove actual attention, because at least in prison, she still had people watching her. There were still reports of whether she was crying or not eating, or now we just simply won't know. It'll all be fiction from publicity land.
Well, I'm glad that whole Paris Hilton thing is over then.
Over?
Am I being naive?
Spoken like someone who started off this segment talking about the G8. How frivolous.
Well, I wanted to ask you a question. You started this column, and it was interesting to read your last particular column, this has been, to be fair about it, a very skeptical view of America's celebrities. But you said you continue to get emails that belong something like this. Why are you wasting my time with this inane pap? I don't care about celebrities. Why should a serious newspaper, blah, 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 war in Iraq, blah, 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 Mrs. Graham, blah, blah, blah. Mrs. Graham, of course, the sainted former publisher of the Washington Post. A lot of emails, a lot of people didn't think this had any place in your paper.
A lot of people don't think celebrities have any place in our culture, and it must be a terrible time to have those thoughts and be alive in America, because you know, celebrities, the volume has been turned way up. The common knowledge required to just move about in the world about celebrities, about very young celebrities who've actually accomplished nothing or never set out to accomplish anything in the first place, you know, just everyday conversation is filled with them, Another interesting thing happened in the 3.5 years that I wrote this column. The speed with which a celebrity can start the morning off fairly happy, going along, doing whatever minor amount of work they do, you know, by the end of the day, can have said the wrong thing or been photographed the wrong way or taken the wrong substance or driven a car the wrong way down a street, or something will happen requiring great movement of the publicity machine, and you can really end the day in jail or rehab. It happens so fast, and they are tried and convicted so quickly in the public sphere, in online especially, that I couldn't keep up. I had a 2-week lead time, and that's like blogging on horseback. Huh. You know, that's just way behind the times. And you know, the column's point was to always take a you know, it was called Question Celebrity, playing off of Question Authority. Like, just question the whole phenomena of why they exist and what we're supposed to make of them, and are there. You know, there's a great history of gossip in our civilizations. I mean, you know, gossip exists for a reason. It's the way we tell one another stories. It's the way we figure out morals. And that's why celebrities exist. You know, they used to be royalty. But, you know, or gods, you know, all of mythology is just,
sure,
really just,
yeah,
celebrity stories. But
did
you
know, hear what Zeus did with that swan?
Exactly. Or did you hear that Aphrodite got out of her limousine with no panties?
Yeah.
You know, I just started to feel this fatigue. You know, you can never really figure out why they do what they do. And it's increasingly just, it's hard to keep up. I felt like a sports fan who is just sort of, you know, with all the falderal of professional athletics, you just sort of lose sight of what's true, what was really athletic, what sports are really all about. And, you know, I really felt an obligation to be familiar with the films of Lindsay Lohan or the albums of Hilary Duff or the albums of Paris Hilton, for that matter. You know, you need to at least be familiar with what they're putting out there as cultural product. And then at a certain point, you just can't. You just got to give up. You got to throw in the towel. Maybe that's my, you know, I'm getting closer to 40. Maybe that's what's happening to me.
Could be. Let's get some listeners in on this conversation. Our guest is Hank Stuever, who this past weekend raised the white flag as the Question Celebrity columnist for The Washington Post. If you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. Let's start with Gaston. Gaston with us from Augusta, GA.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air, Gaston. Go ahead, please.
Hi, how are you doing? I just wanted to say that I'm really sick of hearing about celebrities constantly. I have a 14-year-old daughter and a wife that kind of keep track of these people all day long. And, you know, for my daughter and her friends and things like that, I really wish that they idolized people that didn't run around like Paris Hilton or Britney Spears, that actually did accomplish things in their lives, had a positive contribution. And it just seems as though there's so much money and time wasted on these people. And, I mean, in a small part, I think that some of these people add to the sickness in our society, like girls getting too skinny and things like that. I mean, it's frustrating seeing this constantly. And, you know, their attention is thwarted towards Paris Hilton rather than, let's say, Nelson Mandela, the name that you brought up earlier on the radio.
Yeah, sure. And obviously, I did it to make a point. But, Gaston, when you were your daughter's age, weren't you following the exploits of, I'm not sure how old you are, but it might have been Mickey Mantle or Herschel Walker or somebody like that?
Well, you know, I grew up in Europe, and the thing is on TV, you'll see, I mean, obviously you will see celebrities no matter what. I mean, Clark Gable back in those days. But, I mean, there's just so many more issues that they could follow that they could be informed on. It's just, I can understand the glitz and the glamour associated with these people, but at the same time, there's so many people out there doing, you know, making a difference that, you know, that could be their example. And we're just focused on these people that are going to jail for 45 days for, I don't even know what Paris Hilton was supposed to go to jail for, but I wish that there was something else on the news that they could listen to or somebody else on the magazines they could read about.
Yeah, driving with a suspended license. But anyway, thanks very much for the call, Gaston. And Hank Stuever, you suspect he has a point. We're going to play a clip of tape now. This is Hilton's on-again, off-again friend, Nicole Richie, last night, a guest on The Late Show with David Letterman.
I don't know the details of your problems, but is prison a likelihood or is it, am I...
Yeah.
Really?
It's not funny. I don't know why I'm
laughing. No, it's not funny.
I mean, it's not funny.
But I mean, it does beg the question, what has gone wrong with young Hollywood? Honest to God, what is the problem? I mean, just take a look around.
Are you saying, like, what's my problem?
No. But just generally, I mean, a lot of young people are in a lot of trouble these days, and many of our top stars are doing time.
Well, I mean, I can't speak for everyone else, but I mean, it just goes to show that it's obviously not Hollywood. Everyone goes to jail all over the world, I mean.
And just by way of passing, an attorney for Nicole Richie is in a Glendale courtroom today that asked for a new hearing date be set for her client who's charged with misdemeanor driving under the influence stemming from her arrest for allegedly driving the wrong way on the Ventura Freeway. And, you know, you hear people making fun of that, Hank Stuever, and it just makes you want to throw things.
It does. And to get back to the caller, Gaston, who was saying that, you know, he worries about his 14-year-old daughter, you know, and the combination of his daughter and his wife being sort of preoccupied with what the celebrities are doing, he's giving voice to the way a lot of people feel. One thing that just confounds me is, you know, and one reason why I think people applauded so wildly at the MTV Awards Sunday night, Paris Hilton was there, and the host, Sarah Silverman, made a joke that, you know, Paris is going to jail on Monday, and the immediate reaction was sustained applause. That is partly animus toward Paris Hilton, but I think it also sort of taps into this idea that, you know, why... Lindsay Lohan is not even 21, and she's in rehab again. And there was a rumor the other day, and I really I claim to not be paying attention anymore. I'm weaning myself, really. But, you know, there was a rumor that she's planning her 21st birthday bash in Vegas as soon as she gets out of rehab, and she's, like, making the calls that one would need to have Lindsay Lohan's 21st birthday in Vegas. And, you know, you think all these years, who were the bar owners who were letting, you know, Mary-Kate and Ashley in before their 18th birthday? You know, there's just so many laws being broken that some of us grown-ups just, you know, it really pains us to see. And you know, when we hear that they're having car wrecks and that they're pulled over and that they have drugs, and, you know, we may know someone in our own lives who has had a run-in and, you know, had drugs or something and seemed to have a whole heck of a lot worse time. And it was, of course, more expensive to the everyday person to even just get a speeding ticket. But, you know, this whole idea that, you know, Us Magazine is always running pictures of people pulling parking tickets off their windshields, almost as if that's the fee for parking, you know, $35, $50, $60, whatever West Hollywood is charging for a parking ticket. And that always got to me. That was one column I never wrote, just the cavalier way they would just rip the ticket off their windshield and, you know, hand it to an assistant. or not, just wad it up and throw it away. It's this lawlessness that, you know, that's why we...
Being above the law. And anyway, we're talking with a self-confessed grown-up, Hank Stuever, who's a Washington Post writer and last weekend gave up his column, which was called Question Celebrity. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And here's an email we have from Chris in Grand Rapids. Some of the celebrity interest isn't hero or heroine worship, but feeling superior, such as schadenfreude, that's the feeling, getting joy out of somebody else's problems. We think, gosh, we may be screwing up, but at least we're not that screwed up.
Right. You know, what's interesting about schadenfreude is, you know, for it to work, you have to come to it with a sort of a predetermined dislike of whoever it's happening to. Sometimes it happens to someone you really like. You know, I recently wrote a column about Alec Baldwin's problems. Mm-hmm. You know, about a month ago, he, you know, just, well, before Mother's Day, he was recorded screaming at his daughter's voicemail because she had not answered the phone at the court-appointed time that he's supposed to call her every week. And it was a very revealing, very angry thing. And what shocked me was, you know, I expected people who disagree with Alec Baldwin's politics to sort of delight in that comeuppance.
Sure.
But, you know, I interviewed Alec Baldwin once. I did a profile of him for the Post. And, you know, I spent a day with him, most of a day. And, you know, I liked him. And he wasn't perfect then, but, you know, even then, 4 years ago, he was going through a bitter custody battle, and he's still going through a bitter custody battle. And I just didn't have it in me to really get on his case about that, because the voicemail itself didn't sound too far from the kind of chewings out that I used to get, you know, in private from my own family. You know, it just seemed like parenting to me, you know, just when a brat won't do it. You want her to, you know, like it didn't have curse words in it, the tone of it. But readers really blew back at me for that. They said, no, that was a horrible, horrible thing he did. And he's getting exactly what he deserved. And he was sort of on a quasi-rehab tour, too. You know, like I'm getting better. I have this affliction. It's called, you know, parental disorientation or whatever it's called. You know, like he victimized himself and he wanted to share his understanding. He wanted to quit his television show so that he could concentrate better on this cause. You know, that to me was just another – that was when I really started talking to the editor of the magazine and saying, has this column run its course? You know, am I just like – am I lost in this celebrity schadenfreude, you know?
Let's get Marjorie on the line. Marjorie's calling us from Charlottesville in Virginia.
Hi there. You know, I'm a longtime serious reader of the Washington Post, and I read your column Sunday, and I was so sorry to hear that you're quitting it. I hope you'll get to turn it into a sabbatical and come back. I was really surprised to hear that anyone had ever complained about the content. I think anyone who complained about the content of your column totally missed the point and probably didn't really read understanding or content, because it was, I considered it a social commentary and very healthy, you know, very balanced and dignified and interesting. I mean, you know, albeit comical, it certainly was comical, but it had this sort of emotional, psychological health that I find Judith Martin and Miss Manners has, you know, when she has takes on society and, you know, their doings and comings and goings. So I don't know if you'll reconsider and come back, because there are those of us who are serious and intellectual and still think that you did a great job and you provided me a lot of entertainment.
For those who didn't get a chance to read Question Celebrity, I just wanted to read an excerpt from a column that Hank Stuver wrote May 20th. It was published May 20th. This is about the Sahara trial, which whittled away, he says, one of the last twigs of my celebrity naivete. He was writing about Matthew McConaughey. In addition to his $8 million salary, $6,015.385 per week, also got $833,000 in perks, according to court documents. Some of those included the stunt double, the stand-in, a makeup artist and a colorist. Okay, fine, whatever. But what about the $179,262 the studio paid for the actor's entourage travel, or the $48,893 for his own chef, or $3,488 for a gym room at hotel, or the $9,375 in other expenses? That's good stuff, Hank.
Well, you know, we have to credit the Los Angeles Times, which laid hands on that court document and sort of showed it to the world. You know, what it blew away for me was, you know, for years I had defended big movie star salaries as saying, well, you know, these people are sort of major employers, you know, not, you know, like Julia Roberts Incorporated, like she may get $20 million a movie, but think of all the, you know, assistants and bodyguards,
yeah,
and hairdressers and chefs and nannies and drivers, and think of how
she's an industry
employs. Right. However, when you're on a movie, in the case of Sahara, and apparently more and more, the studio picks up the expenses of your full time staff often as well, and that was sort of a letdown.
I've got to work on NPR to pay for my entourage travel. It's they're just not picking up these tabs anymore. Marjorie, thanks very much for the call. And I think, Hank Stuver, you can leave us with the advice, Question Celebrity. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Hank Stuver joined us from the offices of the Washington Post. Ira Flatow will be here tomorrow with Science Friday from Alaska. We'll see you Monday. I'm Neil Conan. This is NPR News.